Welcome to TechNori Live. We're back in studio at WGN talking with some of Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you who have not ever listened to TechNori, shame on you. TechNori is an awesome show, I think. But then again, I'm the host of it, so that's probably a little biased. What is TechNori? Since 2010, nearly 300 startups have been featured. And to date, they've gone on to raise more than $260 million in funding. So we went to Medill together, Ashley, and it's Logan now.
Yes.
Was not when we were in school together. Knowing well what TechNori does and sort of our media place, you have Yakety Yak, which is also a media company. And I think the analytics and the data component is something that's very huge for you guys. Why don't you, before we get into the fun conversation, why don't you give us all kind of a rundown on what your company does and what you do?
Sure. So Yakety Yak is, in the simplest terms, a content marketing agency. And what we do is help businesses of all sizes find their voice and tell their company's story in a way that effectively resonates with their target audience. So anything from website copy, their boilerplate information, coming up with blog strategy, social media strategy, all with the purpose of driving revenue back to their business. So, for example, we put together editorial calendars and an overall content game plan so that businesses can effectively reach their customers. So we turn it into an income-generating proposition, ultimately. So it's not just content for content's sake.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's been a problem. We talked about this in school. We talked about this when you were first launching this company and I was launching a different company. And now we deal with it a lot. At least at TechNori, and that is that people have always, I think we pounded the idea that you need to produce content and produce your own content. I think we pounded that home. I think everyone gets that to a point, but now everyone is producing content. So there's like this like wave of just really crappy content out there. And no one, like, I cannot stress this enough how important it is that you actually like produce meaningful. We left that out. We said produce content. We left out produce meaningful content.
I'm so glad that you said that because it's absolutely true. And it's been the big differentiator for us. Coming from a journalism background with the Medill Mafia, producing content that actually is similar to a news article, that has the same authenticity, that has sources, that's fact-checked, that's reliable, that's the only way that you're going to really build an engaged audience. You can write a blog post, but when you click on it, I'm sure that you guys have seen headlines on any number of in your social media feed that maybe you click on it, hope to have solve a problem, and then you find that actually this is just like a total crap garbage article.
I unsubscribe immediately.
Clickbait. And you,
right, clickbait, something that doesn't serve your learning purpose. So we help businesses actually find their voice in a way that's going to be effective and resonate with their audience. So it's not just a blog post, but then it's turning that into a meaningful newsletter. It's turning that into an infographic that they can reuse in different ways and effectively reach different people in different places, whether that's on Pinterest or whether that's downloading an infographic or something on from their website. So we make sure the content is really strong, but it has wheels to build engagement.
So this is what's interesting to me in this, and I like... I like your company, and I like the fact that, again, when we have, and this is not just tooting our own horn or anything, well, it is, but the whole, when you have journalist-based, or at least journalist-trained, media-trained professionals that are the ones who are doing this, and the companies that I know, similar to yours, that operate in the sphere where they know how to write a compelling head, write a good story, understand how to like find your voice and take an approach that is, I don't want to say a human approach, it is, but it's even more than that. It's more about identifying with an audience. It's finding an audience, understanding who your audience is, and writing for them or producing content one way or another for them.
Yep.
And the for every single business, whether they're the ones that are listening or the ones that come in here that have this like sort of, I don't know what the right word is for it. I don't want to like totally rip them apart, but they have this sort of false understanding of this where they think it's just content. It's just pushing stuff out. And they hire agencies that don't have journalistic people. They don't have media people. They have anyone who is a scraper. They scrape content from every little place in the world in the universe. And they just put it on because they don't know the audience. They don't know the company. They don't know what the relation is here. Yeah. It does so much damage, in my opinion.
Totally. It's just a waste of money.
Well, it's certainly a waste of money, yeah. But it hurts. It makes it harder for companies like yours and mine to produce things for people because when I take a meeting with them, they're like, well, your show is great. That's your audience. But what are you going to do for us? We can just, you know, what do you know about manufacturing? It's like, you don't understand. Like, we will do research. Your company will do research and find out who your audience specifically is. Things like, you have all this data, give me your data, I will turn it into stories, I will turn it into pieces of information, make infographics, etc. That is so, I mean, it could not be 180 degrees apart.
Totally. I see this a lot with, and nothing against SEO companies, yep, who are writing content, but it
make
ends
fun
up
of
being,
them. I do all day. That's okay. All I do.
So it ends up being, again, content for content's sake, or they're outsourcing it to even other countries, and the strategy is lost, and the English language and the effectiveness.
They don't even know who the company is.
Lost. They don't know
they
who
don't
the
even
company
know what
is.
The hell's going.
They don't know the game plan. And even some PR agencies who are writing content, it's got to resonate with the target audience, and it's got to serve that greater business purpose. And if you're not tying your content to your overall business strategy, you're missing the boat in this day and age.
You know, and the funny thing is, so this whole show that we're doing today, this was 100% by accident, as you know, because I asked you yesterday to come join us. So Civis Analytics, who was on before, we worked for like 4 weeks, maybe. I guess that's a month. Short for a month. 4 weeks or a month. We worked for 4 weeks or a month to get them on, and they kept having to reshuffle. So it fell on today. And then I asked you to come on, and we have a PR agency coming on after you. And it literally, I guess the point I'm trying to make with it is it literally shows how, for all the business owners and listeners that are listening to this show, how vital it is that the data and the content strategy and the actual content pieces and marketing are all tied out. If you're just running around like, we put our Google Analytics marker on the websites, we got all that going, whatever that means, how many clicks we got, whatever, got our email list. And then they go to have a content company that just throws like vomit on a page. And then you've got agencies working for them that are not tied into the actual strategy. It's a complete waste of every dollar and every minute.
100%. And then throw in the companies that are just like boosting posts on Facebook.
Yeah.
And random
We boost posts.
No, but randomly.
I'm just kidding. We do boost. Do you guys do it randomly?
No.
What do you mean by random?
Define random.
Without defining your target audience.
No. We target.
I want everyone to see it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's... Yeah.
that's our audience.
I want everyone... No, I'm just kidding. We're real smart around here. We're real sophisticated.
You guys do things real good around here.
We do things real good.
Oh, yeah.
I read real good. I don't read real good. But no, it is important. It's I guess one of the things I think is interesting about that is that people don't really get it. And so when you started this company, this is where we're going to turn the conversation. And you guys are welcome to chime in as Medill alum, but only Medill alum can contribute. So this whole room is good to go then. You, I assume, had to see a problem when you started your company out of Medill. You had to have noticed, I know I did, had to have noticed that there was something funky in media journalism and as well as just overall like the content world that we were entering. What did you see? And how did you think that Yakety Yak could like address that?
Well, it started with the way the businesses were talking about themselves. They might come from a really specialized field where they're targeting people who weren't specialized, but they're using industry jargon that doesn't resonate with their audience.
Like clickbait.
Well, not even clickbait.
My least favorite word.
Clickbait. Is it?
Buzzword.
Buzzword.
Hashtag buzzword.
So if you're a manufacturing company and you're very technical in like different coatings or plastics or whatever, and the people that you're selling to don't know anything about that, why would you speak to them in really technical terms?
Yeah.
So it started with the way the businesses were representing themselves on their websites and on paper. And then content is the messaging that you send out is it's got to be consistent. So I found that by helping businesses align their messaging with who they're trying to target was really step one. Then from there, you want to stay in touch with them. So if you're building an audience, you don't want to just have this like massive email database that you are never communicating with. You've got to keep it fresh. You've got to solve their problems, and you've got to build engaging material. So whether that's through social media, email newsletters, even through brochures or mailers, which we don't see or do as much of these days, but it's the consistent messaging so you can just have more effective conversations. My background was in sales and business development, and I was always writing on the side and helping different charity foundations or different organizations to tell their story. And then combining the love of business with storytelling allowed me to find this really specific niche to help businesses talk about themselves more effectively.
We both have a background in real estate, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Ooh, I don't. My brother does.
Well, let's talk about your brother.
Yeah, hey.
Tell us some more about what's your brother's name?
Jimmy.
Jimmy.
That's all I know.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hi, Jimmy.
Yeah, sure. He's
Jimmy's in real estate for now, but that's going to end shortly. No, it's a good point that you make, and I think, you know, like I obviously we talked about this. I saw the same exact sort of problem, but I just from my standpoint, I'm not as good in the content, the written, and the that sort of thing. Like I can write obviously a little bit, but I can't. I didn't see it as a, like my angle was there. I felt like the thing that was really, and I still haven't figured it out. The part that really has been blowing me away is how do companies show themselves in a branded but not branded way, an authentic, you know what I'm saying? Like it's branded, but it's authentic. And all the media companies that exist seem to be covering things in a really weird, random way. And I was trying to figure it out, like I said, still trying to figure out, how do we reach these businesses and create a way or a channel for them to be able to tell who they are and what they're trying to do and actually reach and connect with people. And that's the thing I think you've done a really nice job of is like a whole, it's like a holistic approach to it. So ultimately, I don't know, you guys have some experience in this too. I mean, having come out of Medill and trying to figure out like media doesn't look the exact same as it probably did in the book.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
And it's very difficult to plant your hook where you want it or even finding the right place to do it. It seems so vast and big and feels like everything you do sometimes just goes into a big empty void.
Big abyss. Yeah,
it is.
And so that's why you've got to have a game plan for it. You can't just throw a bunch of stuff against the wall because it won't stick.
It's very expensive.
Yeah.
Throwing stuff against the wall, seemingly cheap. Not cheap.
No.
Very expensive.
No, very expensive. So we'll work with anyone from a startup to an established business to help them figure out exactly how they want to. Starts with their goals. What do you want to accomplish? Someone who just wants to have an updated website, have a basic presence, fine. But what the problem we were running into is the monetization of this. So how is this translating into dollars? And that's where the analytics really come into play.
Yeah.
And overall inbound marketing. So that starts with conversions. So when you're putting out great social media content, what happens? Are people going back to your website? Great. But then what happens? So we're tracking where we're losing people along the way and the effectiveness of the overall messaging. A really strong conversion path is if someone's opting in for your mailing list. Because you know how if you post something on Facebook, someone might not see it.
Yep.
You have however many, 15,000 followers and 400 people will see it. With your email list, you have direct access. So yep. We think that's the most important conduit to the consumer. So we focus on list building as a conversion.
How do you do that? I mean, for those listening on the list side, how do you create it in a way where people will actually, you know, click on it, but also read it and it not just go spam box or like, I get tons of them when I read the headline or like maybe the top gist maybe, and then I just sort of like it falls to the bottom. How do you actually build a list that people and build an email database that people would actually want to read? A
couple of things. Starts off by on your website putting content that people want to access. Gated content works really well. So something like a checklist to get started. In my case, we're a content company. I could put up a blogger cheat sheet.
Yep.
So download our 10 tips to see if you're doing this well on your own. They download it on their own, and then maybe they'll enter their email address to get that piece of premium content. And from there, we'll send them maybe 3 or 4 nurture emails that are triggered automatically by that conversion. So they enter their email, automatically they'll get 3 or 4 emails that'll qualify us to them and help to engage them or at least lead them further along in the sales funnel.
Very cool. Lastly, I've got one other thing I kind of like. This is off the topic of just Yak Yak, but as an entrepreneur, as someone who's starting a business, I think you had a background in business, which is helpful. The educational components and resources, knowing people and things like that is certainly helpful. But how did you, because it couldn't have been easy, like launching Yak Yak, and then, you know, it's been, what, 4 years now? How long is it?
Yes.
Four years. So, I mean, how have you been able to, you know, first build the fundamental business itself, then actually grow it and then iterate? Because so much has changed in 4 years just in the media space, just between you and I.
Oh,
so
yeah.
How have you been able to build a successful business and maintain it in what I would call a fairly unpredictable, kind of quick-moving space in media?
I think that the big thing in being an entrepreneur is listening to your clients. So we found that people really wanted to understand the monetization piece of it. So then we added in more robust analytics, we created different pricing tiers for people who wanted to maybe just do one blog post a month, different things like that to help us fill a wide variety of needs for different sizes of businesses, because not everyone is going to be on, you know, a $10,000 a month crazy full plan. So we created options for businesses. We created a conduit to help them send their message in a more effective way on lots of different tiers. But I mean, entrepreneurship is it's not easy. You don't sleep. You've got the daily grind.
And if you're a mother, you definitely don't sleep.
And then throw in having a kid on top of that this year. And but it's worth it because you get to make your own decisions. You get to create a culture for your business that works for you and that you believe in. And I think that the most important thing is having something that you can stand behind and you believe in makes, you know, getting 5 hours of sleep a night.
I was just going to say, you know, they say this all the time. The whole entrepreneurs are the only people on earth that will work 100 hours a week to avoid working 60.
Yeah.
Like, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll work every minute of the day so long as it's not for you.
Totally. But, and it's fun. We're solving problems for businesses, too. And so helping women entrepreneurs or other startup small businesses get their feet off the ground is that's awesome. And to be a trusted partner for a business, like, that is what keeps me going.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to, now that you mentioned it, I have to plug it before I let you go. Is you know, January 31st, we've got our Technori Showcase, and the keynote is an entrepreneur from San Francisco who actually founded Women 2.0. Which is pretty cool, and we've got our partnership with Women Tech Founders here. So if you want to get plugged in to some of the female founders around here, that is certainly the place to do it.
Awesome. I actually just got your email about that. Excellent content marketing, and I'm planning to attend.
Yeah, what do you think of the email blast I sent? Was it too great?
I thought it was just right. It's good.
You're being nice. I feel like
not being nice. I don't, you know me by now.
No,
I don't
know.
Say stuff just to say stuff. I've been giving you crap about your shoes for like,
yeah,
5 years.
I've upgraded that game, sort of, although my girlfriend downgrades them now because she's like, now only all you wear are basket, like, sports shoes. Like, she's like, you won't wear, my back hurts if I wear boots and things. So now I'm like, I just can't figure out the shoe game, man.
He used to, at Medill, he used to wear the shoes that had the toes.
The five finger shoes.
What? Just like,
really?
Like with,
one of those guys?
With dress
one of
pants.
Those guys. With dress pants?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anyone gave him more grief about that than I did.
No.
Every day. I was like,
I wore it to my buddy's
seriously,
wedding.
Seriously,
I don't care. I thought it worked. It didn't work.
It didn't.
It didn't work. I was convinced that it was, boy, and then, you know what? No one was more quiet about phasing those out than me.
Oh, I'm sure.
I was just like,
sure.
I don't know. Thanks for bringing it back up.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Where to, oh, no, go ahead.
Question for you.
Oh, yeah.
Entrepreneurship in your own words.
Shit show? No.
Yeah.
You know what? It's super exciting, but there is a bigger learning curve to entrepreneurship than there is to anything else that I've ever done. So I think this is too many words already, but the few words for entrepreneurship is, I think you really have to be 100% committed to yourself. Like, if you believe that you can do it and you've got a roadmap, you've got to fight it. And no matter what happens, if it goes well or not, you have to finish that roadmap. Don't quit on the middle, somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
Never quit on a bad day.
Never. You can't. That's the worst. Quit on a good day. Yeah, just retire.
Yeah.
Quit on a good day.
Yeah, but people like us, we never retire.
Well, no, you'll end up doing something. It's just like, I was saying to my mom, actually, the other day, we were talking about Technori stuff. I was like, oh, I finally got this thing done, so now I can focus on this one thing. And she's like, that's going to last 5 minutes, and you're going to be on the next big thing that Technori is going to do. And sure as can be, like, the next day I was looking for 360 cameras and stuff to, like, make this different. It didn't even last 24 hours, and I was making changes. Thank you for coming in. Where do people find out more about Yakety Yak?
Visit our website, yakettyyakllc.com. YakettyYakllc.com. It's a lot of Y's, a lot of K's, and a lot of L's.
But you know what? It works, though.
It works.
You remember Yakety
Yak. Don't talk back.
Very cool. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Of course. I want to plug, before we head out of the show today, I want to plug January 31st. We've got the Technori event is going to be back at Chase Auditorium. Mm. That's 6 to 8:30 p.m. This is going to be a loaded event. We have four of the five companies that are going to be on stage. Are going to actually be currently running active equity crowdfunding campaigns on the republic.co platform. One of the companies, well, two of the companies are coming from Los Angeles. One is veteran owned, which is really cool. The other one, Aristotle, which you guys know well, we've had Ware Ellison, yeah, and they actually have already met their goal and they're doing very well. The other one I'm really excited to announce is ParachuteKids.com. Desiree Vargas Wrigley, who is the founder of, previously she worked at Give Forward, which got sold. She was on our stage launching that. She was on our stage as a keynote, and Desiree will be back on stage now again to launch Parachute Kids, which is pretty cool.
Sweet.
So also, I think everyone should want to check that out. But then last, but certainly not least, our keynote, you will have to check the email to get all the name and details, but she is the founder of Women 2.0, and I cannot be more excited. She'll be coming in from San Francisco. It's going to be a very, very great showcase, as Donald Trump would say, very, very tremendous showcase.
Very.
It's very, 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 very impressive. Huge. I have small hands. Anyway, everyone got him. Steve caught people off guard there.
At the very end, it's not
so
end.
Please do check it out. Go to technori.com and find the ticket slot there. And tell us, please, what you think of the new events portal. I think it's great. You can stream this episode and more at technori.com. You can stay up to date with our Technori news feed and stories and other tech bites by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori. You can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.